Introduce who was going to speak. If you went to the conference yesterday, you'd know that the man who's going to speak walked a 900 miles to get his wife, and to me, which is exciting to hear. You know, he went that far for his wife. He also he does his work. The Lord used him in Angola, I believe it was, and he's still working for the Lord. And I'd like to introduce to the platform Mr. T. Ernest Wilson.
It's a very great privilege to be here tonight to open the Word of God. And just a short little message. I thought I would like to read the last page of the Bible, a portion from it, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 6. Right down to the end. Revelation 22 and verse 6, the final paragraph in the Bible. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of this last paragraph in Holy Scripture. I've often thought that any man who writes a book or who preaches a sermon must always have three things in mind. First of all, he must have an introduction. And in the introduction, he tells you what he wants to say, and he outlines what he wants to say in either the sermon or the book. First of all, the introduction. And then secondly, in the main part of the sermon or book, he explains and expounds what he has said or what he has outlined in the introduction. And then always at the end, there should be a conclusion and an application of what he has said. Now, that is the way the Bible is constructed. And if you want to find the introduction to Holy Scripture, we have to read the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And in that introduction, we get all the great themes of Holy Scripture in the first three chapters. They are most important. No time tonight to look at them. But there we get the introduction of Scripture and all the great doctrines and themes that we find in the Word of God, we find in germ in the introduction, Genesis 1-3. And from that point on to the book of Revelation, we get the exposition of what we find in the introduction. And then at the end, we get a conclusion, and then we get an application. Now, it's this last paragraph I thought I would like to occupy our minds with just for a few minutes tonight. There are four great themes in this application of Holy Scripture, and I believe that they're most important. The most important themes in Holy Scripture we find concentrated in the application here at the end of the book. Now, first of all, there's the authority and the inspiration and the infallibility of the Word of God. Now, that is important. And three times over, we find it mentioned in the passage that we've read together. God's holy, inspired Word and the authority behind it. Now, the second is the person of Christ. And in relation to that, there are five great double titles of the Lord Jesus here. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the root and the offspring of David, and he is the bright and morning star. Five great double titles concerning the Lord Jesus, and right in the center, we get that lovely human name, I, Jesus. I love that name, the name of the Savior. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. So in these five great double titles, all the things concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus are all telescoped into these five tremendous double titles of Christ. First of all, the authority of the Word of God and three warnings concerning it. Secondly, the person of Christ expounded here in these great titles of our Lord. Now, the third thing is the gospel, and we get that concentrated in one verse. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the last gospel appeal in Holy Scripture, and it's most important. I want to look at it in a moment. But the fourth great doctrine, the fourth great theme we find here is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. And three times over in the passage that we have read, we read, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely, I come quickly. The imminence of the return of Christ, and then the certainty of it. So here are four great themes, and all I want to do is just to look at them for a moment or two tonight. They are most important. On all the great themes of Holy Scripture, they're concentrated in this last paragraph in Holy Scripture. Now, the first is the authority of the Word of God and three warnings connected with it. You may have noticed as we're reading the passage of John, we read first of all about the Word, God's precious Word. Don't put a seal upon it. That's what a lot of people do today. They may have a Bible, but there's a seal on it and it's never opened and read and studied. God's final revelation to man, the most important thing we have in the literary world today, is God's holy, infallible, inspired Word. Don't put a seal upon it. And then the second thing is, don't add to it. And the third warning is, don't take away from it. I won't get occupy all our time tonight speaking about this. The inspiration of Holy Scripture, it has the stamp of the Holy Spirit upon it. And it's God's message to man. It's the most valuable thing we have in the world today, apart from our salvation. God's precious Word. What do we think of it? You know, there's one thing I'm very thankful for. I mentioned at the conference that in the area where we have spent the most of our life, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has been translated into the language of the people, and the people have been taught to read it. I understand that Mr. Raymond Dibble, he did the same thing in Nigeria among the Igala people. We thank God for that. I believe that one of the most important works of any missionary today is to give the people the Bible. Give the people the Word of God. This is what God can use. And I thank God today that in the four main language areas in Angola today, we have the whole Bible translated into the language of the people and the people taught to read it. But here at the end of Holy Scripture, the three great warnings are, don't put a seal upon it. Open your Bible and read it and study it. This is the thing that God can use in salvation. The two great agencies in salvation today is, first of all, the Holy Spirit of God, and secondly, the Word of God. And these two things are what God uses today in opening a person's eyes, bringing them to Christ. So the first great theme here is Holy Scripture, the authority and the inspiration of it. It is the stamp of God Himself upon it. Don't put a seal upon it, and then don't add to it. In Christendom today, there's a lot of people do that. Their own opinions, their own ideas. I understand that the Mormon people, they call themselves the Church of the Latter-day Saints, they have a book, the Book of Mormon, and it's of equal authority as far as they're concerned with God's Holy Word. You know, that's a serious thing. Don't add to it. And Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy in Christian Science, she has a book too, and she says that her book is of equal authority with the Word of God. That's a very, very serious thing. Adding to the Word of God, our own opinions or ideas, God's Word is complete and it's final, and it has authority upon it. Don't add to it. And then the third thing is, don't take away from it. Now, that's what the liberal theologian does. Anything that he doesn't approve of or doesn't understand, take his theological penknife, cut it out, and put it in the waste paper basket. That was what a king did in the time of Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah spoke the word of the Lord to him, he took his penknife and he tore it apart and wrapped it in the waste paper basket. The curse of God is upon a person that does that kind of thing. It's God's final message to you and to me, and it has the authority of the Holy Spirit Himself upon it. So the first great theme here is the Word of God. Now the second, these great lovely terms concerning the person of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, one of the great themes is the person of the Savior Himself. Studying the Word of God, some time ago, I found that there were 365 different names and titles of the Savior in the Bible. Be an interesting thing to look at them tonight. That would take a whole year if you wanted to study them. A whole year you could occupy with taking one of these names or titles, and you would have one for every day. 365. But here they're all telescope, and they're all compressed into these five. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is the grammatical title. He is the beginning and the end. That's the creatorial title. He's the first and the last. That is his dispensational title. He's the root and the offspring of David. That is his messianic title. But he's the bright and morning star. And that is his Advent title. Now, one could occupy a long time in speaking about these magnificent titles of the Lord Jesus. And thank God, today when we look at them, we get the person and work of the Savior himself. Just a word or two about each one. First of all, he's the Alpha and the Omega. I suppose most of us understand that these two words, these two letters, Alpha, Omega, are the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That is the language in which the New Testament was written. The Alpha and the Omega. That means to say, in our language, you would say he's the A and the Z. The first and the last. But he, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And this is his relation to the Word. The Bible is all about Christ. Thank God he is the living Word, and all of the written Word is all about him. The grammatical title of the Lord Jesus. And then he's the beginning and the end. That is his creatorial title. Again, that would open up a great big field to speak about here tonight. The creatorial power of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm perfectly aware that today that this is laughed at. And humanistic teaching that we find here in the school system in the United States and in society today, God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ as the sovereign creator of the universe is laughed at and thrown out. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. But the hand that flung those galaxies into space, as we look above our heads and see these wonderful, wonderful universes out in space, the person responsible for the creation, the beginning, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the Epistle to the Colossians, there are four prepositions that are used in relation to the creatorial power of the Savior. We read there, all things were made by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together or consist. You know, again, these great prepositions concerning the creatorial power of Christ, they are magnificent. And as far as I'm concerned, when I read in my Bible, in the beginning, God, the triune God, that word for God, the very first sentence in the Bible, it's Elohim. It is a plural word with a singular verb. In the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost created the heavens and the earth. And I bow my head and I say, Amen. You say, have you ever read Darwin? Have you ever read Huxley? Have you ever read Wallace? And these men that would deny the creatorial power of Christ? I have. And as far as I'm concerned, all that these men have to say after studying their works and looking at my Bible, without reserve or without argument, when I read those words, in the beginning, God, the triune God, created the heavens and the earth, I bow my head and I say, Amen. Did you hear the first time that man went round the moon? There was a man sitting in a capsule, and he was at the backside of the moon for the very first time. I can't think of his name for the moment. Frank Borman was his name. He's now the head of the Eastern Airlines. And that dear man, as that vehicle was going around the backside of the moon where no man had ever been before, he opened his Bible and he read that first paragraph in the Bible. When I heard that, it sent the tingles down my spine. And I thank God for a man who had the courage to open the Word of God and put his hand upon it and believe in it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the beginning. And when that time comes, when this old earth and the universe as we know it will pass away, the hand that will be responsible for that will be the same hand that created the universe in the beginning. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. This is his dispensational title. One would love to turn over to various passages of Scripture to show that he is the first. He is the firstborn. He is the first fruits. Thank God he's the firstborn from the first begotten from the dead. And the last. He is the last Adam. It's a dispensational title of the Lord Jesus, and it encompasses a tremendous amount of teaching in the New Testament Scriptures. The first and the last. And then he is the root from which David sprang. The root and the offspring of David. That is his messianic title in relation to the nation of Israel. And then finally, the bright and morning star. Oh, what a lovely, lovely picture that is of the soon coming again of the Lord Jesus. The bright and morning star, the precursor of the dawn. And thank God, the bright and morning star, it comes just before the dawn. And then there's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, coming back again to inaugurate his reign, his millennial reign, and reign from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And right in the center, I, Jesus, the human title. I love that. First of all, the authority of the Word of God. Secondly, the person and work of Christ. And then thirdly, the gospel. You know, if I wanted to teach the gospel, I would open the epistle to the Romans, and all the great doctrines concerning with the gospel of the grace of God we find opened up for us along the line of teaching in the epistle of the Romans. But if I wanted to preach the gospel, I would pick up this verse, this lovely verse, and here it is in its simplest form. There are three little words that everyone in the meeting here tonight can understand. There are great theological terms in the Epistle of the Romans that possibly all of us don't understand all of them. But I think we can all understand this verse. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How beautiful that is. It's the final gospel appeal in Holy Scripture. And three times over we get that little word, come, come, come. Now, a small child can understand that word. It's one of the first words that a small child learns. When the mother is teaching her little one to walk, she plants his little feet on the ground, and she puts out her arms and said, come. And you see those little feet trying to balance itself, and it comes to its mother. Come, come, come. Now that is addressed to our feet. And the second word that's used here is take. That's addressed to our hand. And the third word is whosoever will. That's addressed to our mind and our will. Whosoever, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Notice where the invitation comes from. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God is here tonight. We can't see him, but I thank God he hovers over this meeting, the Spirit of God. And his great object is to apply the Word of God to each one of our hearts. And thank God he's here, hovering over this meeting. You know, there are 350 mentions of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. 350. We find them in relation to creation in Genesis chapter 1, as we have mentioned. But this is the last one. The Spirit and the Bride. And the operation of the Holy Spirit of God is, first of all, in salvation, he first of all convicts a person of sin. And that is important. The work of conviction. You know, this is something that's not often mentioned today. And some people say, all you need to do is believe. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to show us our condition in the sight of God. And then when we realize our sin, and there is true repentance in our hearts, the work of the Holy Spirit is first of all to convict. Remember what the Lord said, John chapter 16, when he is come, he shall convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. His first operation in the soul of an individual is conviction and working repentance, and that is most important. But then his second operation is to open our eyes to the work of Christ on Calvary's cross and to show us the beauty and the glory and the majesty of the Savior himself. My beloved friends, here tonight it gives me infinite joy to lift up Christ as the only means of salvation. Thank God, the poor sinner, realizing his condition in the sight of God, and that conviction has been wrought in his heart and mind on this true repentance, not just sorrow for sin, but making a right about turn. That is what the word repentance means. Dropping the old life completely and putting our faith and trust in the Savior. That is what repentance really means. And the Holy Spirit of God, he works that, the first operation. But secondly, he opens our eyes to see Christ as the one who bore our sin in his own body on the tree. I thank God for those scriptures that have been repeated again and again here tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Spirit and the Bride. Who is the Bride? Well, the Bride is composed of those that have already come. I believe that the Bride of the Lamb is the church of the present era, and thank God every member of that great body that's called the Bride has the opportunity, the privilege, and the absolute necessity of saying, come, come, come. The first time we find the word come in Scripture, it's God the Father. You remember Genesis chapter 6, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come, come. And the Lord Jesus himself, the second member of the Holy Trinity, in Matthew 11 and verse 28. We read there those lovely words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, God the Father. Secondly, God the Son. But here it's God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, what a simple thing this is, and yet so important. The final appeal, the final blast of the silver trumpet of redemption, here we find it in this verse. And then the second thing is, let him that heareth say, come. You know, I believe the day in which we live, in every part of the world, the simple gospel is being preached 24 hours a day, right around the whole world. You say, is that true? There are 3 radio stations today that cover the whole world. Our dear brother, Cyril Brooks, is over there in Manila, over in the Philippines, and the Far Eastern Broadcasting System being beamed from that center, that strategic center, into the Far East, and in many languages, the gospel is going out. A second one is in Quito, Ecuador. I've had the opportunity of being there twice. right in one of the highest points in South America, and from HCJB, 24 hours a day. In many languages, the simple gospel of the grace of God is going out from HCJB and over in Monte Carlo and on the island of Cyprus, one of the most powerful radio stations in the world, into the Arabic-speaking world. The gospel is going out. Come, come, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And then let him that is athirst come. Oh, I wonder if there's a thirsty soul here tonight, a thirst for God's salvation, and possibly the desire in your heart may be, oh, that I knew where I might find him. My beloved friend here tonight, we can tell you where to find him. You'll find him at the cross. And if you only come, put your faith and trust in him, whosoever will, direct it to our mind, to our intelligence, and to our will. And when we put our will at the feet of Christ, put our faith and trust in him and commit ourselves to him, the great transaction is done. So here we get the gospel, reduced to its simplest terms in this beautiful verse. And then the final thing is, behold, I come quickly. I don't know what you feel about the world in which we live today, but I believe that things are heading up very rapidly for the coming again of our blessed Lord. Not my purpose to go into this in any detail tonight, but if we're to speak about the social conditions in the world, the political conditions, the religious conditions in the world, and the way we see things heading up, even politicians that don't know the Bible, they feel that we're heading up to a crisis. For the very first time in human history, man has the potential today of wiping out every living thing on the planet. That's the reason for these protests. Every time we open a newspaper or listen to the news, they're protesting about nuclear armament and all that kind of thing. You'll find it everywhere today. These people know that if some maniac were to press the button at the wrong time, both on this side of the Atlantic and over there in the Kremlin, and some maniac were to press the button at the wrong time, they could completely devastate the world as we know it today. I believe that when it comes to that, it's time for Almighty God to step in and say, gentlemen, it's closing time. It's closing time. And I believe that that is the hour at which we have arrived. If you went down to Groton in Connecticut, they're launching those nuclear submarines. I've been there a number of times. Know a little bit about what is happening. And those submarines that are being launched very rapidly and frequently, they carry tremendous, devastating power. And exactly the same thing is happening over on the other side of the Atlantic. And the senators in this country, Senator Mark Hatfield, a man that knows all the facts, the things that's going on in the Pentagon, he said, today, if these things were let loose, it could completely wipe out civilization as we know it. Now, that's not scaremongering. It's just the plain, sober fact today, and it's the world in which we live. But I believe when these things happen, it's time for God to act, and I believe that he will. And the next item on the program, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely, I come quickly. First of all, the imminence of the coming again of Christ, and finally, its certainty. And then John, when he hears that last word at the end, surely I come quickly, he bows his head and he says, amen, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And I think everyone that knows and loves the Lord, I think we can reiterate those words that John used. Amen, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Beloved friends, that's going to be the solution to this poor old world's problem. When Christ shall come, take his people out of it, and then there will be the Holocaust. That is the great tribulation. But then he's coming back again in glory. And he will sit upon the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and he'll reign from the river to the ends of the earth. And thank God that time is coming. May God bless his word to each one of our hearts for his name's sake. Just a little word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we lift our hearts unitedly to thee this evening and thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we're not left in the dark as far as the past is concerned and the present and also the future. And our Father, as we look around us today and see deterioration on every hand, we thank thee that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And our Father, we do pray that we may not waste our time at the present time, but may buy up every moment of testimony for thee and to seek to witness to those that are still in the dark. Lord, bless thy word to each one of our hearts tonight. And we pray that we may be thoroughly dedicated to thyself in that waiting time until the Lord Jesus come. Now we commend us to thee again, thanking thee for this quiet hour spent together in thy presence and around thy word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.